want to start our time tonight by just asking a question. And the question's this: who or what is the loudest voice in your life? Now, don't take it literally, because half of us would probably answer Aiden Kirk. But what I mean is, what voice dictates your day-to-day decisions? What voice determines the trajectory of your life? As you're going throughout your day thinking about what you're going to do, what or who is the loudest voice? Because for some of us, it's probably family, someone who we respect and look up to. For other people, maybe it's a significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's tradition. We think this is how things have always been done, and so this is how we're just going to continue to do them. My parents did this, so I'm going to do this. Maybe it's not even a person, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but for some of us, maybe it's AI. I've seen ChatGPT commercials, and the stuff people ask it, I'm like, really? Now that's crazy. The reality is that we all have voices in our life that we listen to. And the reality is there's good voices and there's bad voices. And the series we're finishing up tonight is the series that we've been in the past few weeks, How Then Shall We Live? And over the past few weeks, we've got to look at how Scripture calls us to live in light of the reality that we've been made a new creation in Christ. We've experienced a new birth in Christ. We've been brought to life in Christ. What once was dead has been brought to life. Week one, Chad talked about living boldly. Week two, Amber talked about living holy. Last week, Jeffrey talked about living in light of eternity. And tonight, we're going to see that as Christians, the answer to that question, how then shall we live, is that, well, we're called to listen to a voice. And if you guys are sitting here, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, Jake, I know what voice that is, and it's Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, okay, but I actually think it's more than that. And I can say that confidently, and I hope it becomes clear why. More than Jesus, yes. More than Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for getting us to this point in the semester. Thank you for every single person who's here tonight, God. Pray that you'd help us block out any distractions. Pray that you would help us focus. And God, just pray that you'd speak to us through your word. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the passage we're going to look at tonight, 2 Timothy, it's chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Paul, the author, he's writing to Timothy, and basically Paul, he's a spiritual mentor to Timothy, and he's giving him a whole list of marching orders as to how to fulfill the ministry he's been given. He's writing to him in order to encourage him. And he's writing to him to warn him about the countless things that could actually take him out of the ministry altogether. And he really desperately wants Timothy to succeed and fulfill the calling that he's been given. And so with that, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Now, I said bigger than Jesus. And I said that because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was alive for 33 years. 3 of those years were devoted to his teaching. And so we have not all of his words, but we have some of his words from those 3 years that he spent doing his ministry, that which he was sent to do here on earth. But as many of us know, this book right here has a whole lot more in it than just red letters from Jesus. This book is the answer to the question, how then shall we live? We shall live by this book. And for us as Christians, yes, the answer is Jesus. But more than that, the answer is, what should the loudest voice be in our lives? It's this book. And that's probably bad news for a lot of us who hate reading. But I'm here to tell you, God has chosen to give us a book, to speak to us through a book. And so at the end of the day, you better become a reader. All right, that's all I'll say about that. But some people will probably say, why? It's old, right? Half the things in here, they seem pretty outdated. I don't think they're going to fly in today's world. Actually, I've heard some people say how we don't really know who wrote it, but at the end of the day, we know that they were people like you and me, so can we really say it's God's word? Better yet, if I were to live according to this book, aren't I on the fast track to just getting canceled? Absolutely. Now that we've got that out of the way, look at verse 12. It says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I think, honestly, it's time that we start trying to dodge around the difficult things that are in this book right here. We stop trying to explain them away, and we just accept them for what they are, what they say they are, and that's the inspired, God-breathed Word of God. But we just said it. How can we really think that this is the Word of God when it's been written by men? Man, human, humans, humankind wrote this book. How can we say that it's the Word of God? I'm glad you asked. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. There we go. Missed the sound effects. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This book absolutely was written by men, but in the same way that the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was sent from God, yet was born of man, the words in this book were born from the fingertips of men, yet breathed by God himself. If we can say what we claim to be true about Jesus, sent by God, fully God, yet born of man, fully man, then why do we have a difficult time saying the same thing about his word? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Fast forward, the Word became flesh. This book, written by men, is absolutely, without a doubt, the Word of God. And I believe that. And I want to tell you 3 reasons why this book right here and the words in it should actually be the loudest voice in our lives. And the first reason is this. It does not change. About 5 years ago, maybe a little less, there was an event. Some of you may have heard of it, coronavirus. Now, what I'm about to say is completely apolitical. I want to say that first. But it does highlight a few things that I think relate to what I want to get across. I can recall, day after day, listening to countless voices, family, friends, professionals, telling me exactly what to do, only to wake up the next day with a completely different set of orders and directives. And I gotta tell you, it kind of got old. Some days, it was the exact opposite of what I was told to do the day before, the week before. It got to a point where I'm like, who in the heck knows what they're talking about? Because I want to meet them. Now, people, they're entitled to change their minds. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when the voices in our lives that are setting the trajectory of our lives, when the voices in our lives that are telling us what should be of utmost importance, when those voices start to change, how then shall we live? The answer is we just can't. That is no way to live. We cannot live day to day waking up with a new bullseye that we're shooting at. Heck, some days if we listen to these voices, we have multiple bullseyes. How do we decide which one we're going after? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that if the loudest voice in our lives is this right here, the bullseye has been set. And that bullseye doesn't change. Ever. This right here, God himself, he can't change. He just is. And he's blessed us with this, telling us exactly who he is. From first to last, beginning to end, God's word is the only thing in this world that we can count on that's not going to change. And that's really good news. We might say it's outdated. That's because it just hasn't changed. Doesn't mean it's outdated. That means it's true. Why should this book be the loudest voice in our lives? Second reason. It is literally God-breathed. God's got good breath. Literally, as these words were written down by the hands of various men, simultaneously these words were breathed out by God. There is absolutely nothing that is in this book that God did not intend to be in this book. And there is absolutely nothing left out of this book that God wishes, man, wish we would have put that in there. What we have right here, beginning to end, is a closed canon of God-breathed truth. God-inspired Holy Scripture. And that means that this book, the loudest voice in the life of a Christian, is unlike any other book to have ever been written. That means that other books that are old, they can be criticized, right? They can be criticized on historical grounds. We can get all into the weeds and put it under a microscope and find out if it's real or not. Guess what? This book, if in fact it's God-breathed, it doesn't play by those rules. The people who are the New Testament scholars, the biblical scholars, the people who don't even believe in God, and they say that we've done the research and half the stuff in here just doesn't quite add up. Guess what? I don't care. This book does not play by the rules of the world if, in fact, the author of the world has breathed these words out. I've mentioned this to some of you, but I've said, you know what would happen if tomorrow we woke up and we found out that Moses actually didn't write the first five books of the Bible? And you know what would happen if we woke up tomorrow and we found out that David didn't author a majority of the Psalms? And you know what would happen if we found out that Paul, he actually wasn't the author of the majority of the New Testament? Do you know what that would mean for us? Absolutely nothing. It changes absolutely nothing, because at the end of the day, these words are God-breathed, regardless of the human hand that penned them. I truly believe that. If in fact this book, this voice that we're called to listen to, is unlike any other book that's been written, I think we'd be really wise to treat it as such. To handle it with the reverence and respect that it deserves, and to allow it to speak into our lives the way that a book like that should. And lastly, why should this book be the loudest voice in our lives? Not only is it God-breathed, but it's God-breathed towards a specific end. And that's this. It's God-breathed so that the people of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It's right there in verses 16 and 17. The author of the world, the author of life itself, he's authored this book that has given us everything that we need for a life of godliness, a life to honor our God, our Father. I forget the name of the game, but I'm pretty sure some of you guys have played it. What's the name of the game where you blindfold someone, you throw them in a car, you drive them out to the middle of nowhere, you drop them off, and they have to find their way back home? What is it? Kidnapping? It's a hostage. Also known as a felony, but hostage. I think a lot of times, even us as Christians, we treat God's involvement in our lives almost like it was a game of hostage. Like we've been dropped in the world. Maybe God, if we're lucky, he's left a few clues here and there. And it's on us to figure out, what do we do? What's my purpose? What's right and wrong? But guess what? That's not the case. This book has told us everything that we need to know. So why do we overcomplicate it? I know my answer to that question, why do I overcomplicate it, is because a lot of times the answer that this book gives me, I just don't like it. And so I think maybe I could tweak it a little bit and look at this a slightly different way. And surely when he says, like, don't get drunk, he doesn't mean, like, don't get drunk. Like, he just means, like, don't get drunk, right? Or, God, I really feel like you've called me to this person. I know nothing about this relationship honors you, but maybe someday it will, and I just feel like they're the one for me. God, actually, I don't really feel like I'm called to go share the gospel. That's for other people, right? That's not for me. I'm kind of shy, and I'm introverted. I think that's something that you want other people to do. No, at the end of the day, God's word tells us what is true and what we're called to do. The reality is, we just don't like it. And I'm not speaking at you. I'm right there with you. And actually, I think God knows that these things, They're not our natural inclination to want. And I just want to tell you that wherever you're at with any of those things I just mentioned or any of the other countless things that are here in this book, I think what God wants more than anything is you. God doesn't say, get those parts of your life in order and come to me. He says, bring your life to me and I'm going to start to work on all those different areas of your life. The more time you spend in my God-breathed, God-inspired word, I'm going to do a work in you. And I hope you're okay with that. You know, I think a lot of times we can think, man, all the fun things God tells me not to do. And not going to lie, it kind of feels like he's a killjoy. But the truth is, that's not the case. And the truth is, we actually don't know what's best for us. We think we do, but I promise you, from experience, but also from what God's word has to say, he's never going to keep us from something good without an even better reason. And he's never going to command us to do something that's not actually ultimately for our greatest good, our greatest enjoyment, our greatest joy, our greatest pleasure. That's where faith comes into play. Because if I'm going to be honest, I want the good and the pleasure and the joy right here, right now. God has something far better in plan for me and for each and every one of us, if we trust him and we trust what's in this book. So how then shall we live? It's by this book. It's by this book that all the other how then shall we's, the weeks that came before tonight, it's by this book that all of those are founded. And I'm just going to say it. If we do away with this book, or we choose to pick and choose buffet style what we want and what we like and what we think, oh, that's kind of outdated. Let's do away with it. We're as lost as the world we live in. And it's actually that attitude towards this book that I think Paul is warning Timothy about in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So let's get practical. How? How do I make this the loudest voice in my life? Well, I'm still working on it, but some things that have helped. First, eat this book. Not literally, again, but spend as much time in this book as you can. And if you don't know where to start, if you feel like you're stuck in a game of hostage and don't know which way's up when it comes to the Bible, talk to someone. Because I guarantee you there are people in this room who are so passionate about the words in this book that they will do everything they can to help you get started. Second thing, every other voice that's competing for top spot in our life, we have to subject that to the authority of the scriptures. It doesn't mean that there's no other voice that's important, but it does mean that we are constantly taking every other voice captive to the ultimate voice that is God's voice, the God-breathed, God-inspired, holy scriptures. And lastly, at the end of the day, there's some things in life that They don't make sense. But I have to make the decision that I don't make the rules. I don't get to decide right and wrong. It doesn't matter how I feel about something being right or wrong. I have to humbly submit to the Word of God and say, you know what, God? I actually don't know Jack. I believe that what you've given me right here in this book is true. And so I'm going to trust that. Now I realize some of what was said in the past 15, 20 minutes might actually leave you with more questions than answers. For starters, there's some pretty challenging things in this book that people spent their entire life trying to understand, and they're nowhere near exhausting it. Or maybe you've seen people use the stuff that's in this book to put other people down, to call other people out. Maybe you've even experienced people using the things that are in this book to call you out, to put you down. And what I want to say is this: this book was never intended to merely call someone out or put someone down. This book was meant to call us up, each and every one of us, to build us up, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. When it comes to condemnation, we've all done that to ourselves. We don't need a book to tell us how jacked up we are. The book that we have right here is to bring us to God. And the God that it brings us to, scriptures tell us he's gracious. He's abounding in mercy. He's full of steadfast love, and that he desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. That's why we have this book. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're not blind. We're not left as sheep without a shepherd. We're not left in a maze with no idea how to get out, God, but you've given us your word. You've made yourself known to us. God, I pray that as we approach your word, you'd open our eyes to the truth that's in it. You'd open our ears to hear your voice, and that your voice would be the loudest voice in our lives. And God, when we choose to submit to your voice, I just pray that you would make it abundantly clear that this is the way life should be lived. God, I pray that you would honor the steps of faith that are taken. I pray that you would help us be more and more obedient to the things you call us to in your word. And we just can't help but thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.